Viva Frelimo!
Viva!
Viva Frelimo!
Viva!
Frelimo, aina mwisho!
Aina mwisho, Frelimo, aina mwisho!
Frelimo, aina mwisho!
Aina mwisho, Frelimo, aina mwisho!
Viva Frelimo, the story of the national liberation struggle in Mozambique, the story of a victory, and of the men and women who made it possible.
Frelimo, aina mwisho.
Aye, aye, Frelimo, aina mwisho.
Part 3. Bullets begin to flower.
Simple words that even the children can understand. Words which will enter every house like the wind and fall like red-hot embers on our people's souls. In our land, bullets are beginning to flower.
At a place called Machej in northern Mozambique in July 1968, an event took place which showed clearly how the bullets of Frelimo had begun to flower. It was the Second Congress of Frelimo, a dramatic moment in the history of the movement which 9 years later was to transform itself into a Marxist-Leninist vanguard party. In these early days, Frelimo was very much a front, a coalition of interests. In the leadership, there were Marxists, but there were also men at the other end of the political spectrum, men who were only concerned with seizing the colonialist privileges for themselves, the new bourgeoisie. Between the start of the armed struggle and the time of the Second Congress, 4 years had elapsed. They were years of tremendous ferment, years in which Frelimo reached maturity as a liberation movement, years in which bullets began to flower. The armed struggle had begun in September 1964. With a series of simultaneous attacks on administrative and military headquarters in the province of Cabo Delgado in the north of Mozambique. At that time, Frelimo had only about 250 men trained and armed, operating in squads of about a dozen men. In the space of a few months, the struggle had spread to Niassa, west of Cabo Delgado, to Zambezia, a little further south, and to Tete in the far west of the country. In 1965, however, operations in Tete and Zambezia provinces were suspended due to logistic problems. For 4 crucial years between 1964 and 1968, it was in Cabo Delgado and Niassa that Frelimo matured both as a political movement and a guerrilla army. In the first years of the war, Frelimo fought for control of these two provinces through relatively small-scale guerrilla operations, ambushes and sabotage operations, for example. A typical Frelimo war communique of the time, this one dated 31st of March 1965, reads as follows. The Frelimo fighters ambushed a group of Portuguese soldiers 5 kilometers from the administrative post of Cobwe at Mala in Niassa province. A Portuguese officer and 3 privates were killed, and a machine pistol belonging to the officer was captured. Frelimo was not yet strong enough to mount major attacks on Portuguese positions, but the movement was gaining strength, consolidating the military and political position, training new recruits, and gradually eroding Portuguese strength in many small actions. Portugal's friends were quick to see the danger. As early as 1965, South African soldiers were fighting alongside the Portuguese troops against Frelimo. A report at the time said the South Africans were even more ferocious than the Portuguese soldiers, and said they took a sadistic pleasure in shooting and torturing unarmed African civilians. But it was too late for the Portuguese or the South African army to stop the advance of Frelimo. Atrocities only encouraged the people to join the liberation movement and take part in the armed struggle. By early 1967, Mozambican women had also joined the ranks of the freedom fighters. One of them, Joanina Mbawa, told her story in May of that year.
The Portuguese came one day to my village. There were PID, secret policemen and soldiers. They killed my sister, who was pregnant, opened her womb and took the child out. They killed one man, opened his stomach and put the fetus in it. They started laughing madly. They killed many people in the village. They arrested others, including my father and my brother. And we never saw them again. After that, they burned the village. I escaped because I could hide in the bush. I wanted to take up arms against our enemies, so I joined the armed forces of Frelimo. I am now a Frelimo soldier at the Central Military Base of Cabo Delgado, and I have already taken part in two ambushes against the Portuguese.
Joanina Mbawa was only one of hundreds of young people who flocked to the ranks of the guerrillas at that time. By the time Joanina joined Frelimo, the armed struggle in the provinces of Cabo Delgado and Niassa had caused the near-total dismantling of the Portuguese administration in these areas. The Portuguese government no longer controlled the economy, and its power had been confined to the cities and some military posts. These provinces constituted semi-liberated zones, where Frelimo was establishing a Mozambican political and administrative power, reorganizing the economy, creating new schools and hospitals. A new life was being created. The guerrilla attack on a post called Marere in Cabo Delgado province on June the 7th, 1967, is an example of how the war was developing. At the time of this Frelimo attack, the Portuguese soldiers were on parade for the lowering of the flag. Suddenly, grenades and bazooka and machine gun fire showered down on the Portuguese. A whole platoon was wiped out, and the freedom fighters stormed the camp, cutting through the barbed wire fence that surrounded it. By the end of the day, about 60 Portuguese soldiers had died at Marere. An interesting aspect of this attack was that it was carried out by a whole company of freedom fighters. That's more than 100 men. The fact that Frelimo was able to move that number of men around the countryside to attack Portuguese fixed positions was a sign of the times. The population supported Frelimo. The Portuguese were cornered in their fortresses. Frelimo was free to move. There were many difficulties for the freedom fighters. Sometimes they spent whole days without eating. They had to sleep out in the cold and had to march days or even weeks to carry out an ambush or an attack. The people in the semi-liberated areas also suffered because with each Frelimo advance, the Portuguese intensified their repression, especially with bombing raids. But 1967 was a decisive year for the advance of the freedom struggle. Frelimo began to attack enemy posts in a systematic way with heavy artillery. anti-aircraft units were created to defend the population of what could now be described as liberated areas. Large detachments of women guerrillas were created, and Mozambican women began to play a key role in the struggle. The freedom fighters created the conditions for self-reliance, every unit cultivating its own mashamba. New training camps were opened up inside Mozambique to cope with the ever-increasing number of volunteers. When Frelimo had consolidated its position in Cabo Delgado and Niassa provinces, it was time to extend the battlefront. And in March 1968, a new front was opened in the province of Tete, in the northwest of the country.
Somos soldados da Frelimo,
somos soldados da Frelimo,
somos soldados.
Tete province is a key region of Mozambique. On the map, it is the part which sticks out like a thumb on the left-hand side, and it has frontiers with no fewer than three countries, Malawi, Zambia, and Zimbabwe. The great Zambezi River runs through the center of Tete province, providing the energy for the giant Cahora Bassa hydroelectric project. Tete also contains some of Mozambique's richest farmland, and by the time Frelimo resumed operations there in 1968, agriculture was fairly well developed. Strategically, the Tete battlefront was much more important than Cabo Delgado and Niassa as far as the Portuguese were concerned. But from the beginning, the war went very badly for them. There were several reasons for this. One was that the Portuguese army was becoming overstretched, fighting over a constantly growing area. But more important was the great increase in Frelimo's military and political capacity, gained through 4 years of war. In addition, throughout this time, Frelimo underground militants had been mobilizing the population in Tete in preparation for the resumption of the armed struggle. It was to this dramatic background that the Second Congress of Frelimo was held in July 1968. In 4 years of fighting, the war had spread over three provinces, and Frelimo was solidly implanted inside the country. It was this that enabled the national movement to hold its congress inside Mozambique, and the significance of that achievement cannot be underestimated. For the first time in southern Africa, a guerrilla movement elected its leaders on its own national territory. Eduardo Mondlane was re-elected as president, and the Central Committee was expanded from 20 to 40 members, nearly all of the new members being militants based inside Mozambique. Of particular significance was the election to the Central Committee of military commanders, who had, through their conduct of the war, established firm support among the masses. Unity between the freedom fighters and the masses had been consolidated. The march to victory was now irreversible. In our land, as the poet said, bullets were beginning to flower.
Frelimo, aina mwisho.
Aina mwisho, Frelimo, aina mwisho.
Frelimo, aina mwisho.
Aina mwisho, Frelimo, aina mwisho.
You've been listening to a chapter in the story of the liberation struggle in Mozambique. This 9-part series was produced at the studios of Radio Mozambique in Maputo, and you can hear the next installment of Viva Frelimo at the same time next week.